My message on this Easter Sunday has caused me great worry because I've called it God is a problem. And, well, you've got to read the room. It's meant to be a happy day. And my sermon's called God is a problem. And I'm worried that I'm going to deflate everybody and you'll leave thinking, I wish I had a vicar that just said something nice and did the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I woke up at 4:15 worried about this message. Because it turned out, though, it was all right. It was 5:15. So I didn't feel as bad then, just a few hours awake. I'm worried because it's an upbeat day. But it might not seem like an upbeat message at first. But I want you to stick with it because it should be. But hang in there. I just want to avoid corny religious platitudes, which don't mean anything or change us in any real way. I want us to worship this morning truly. And when we hear terms this Easter weekend like new life or victory over the dead, which is what my text is, he gives us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to know more than just words. I also happen to know that some of you are really suffering at the moment. And in this message, I'm going to talk about God who's angry at sin. So I was up, in fact, all week I've been worried, like, what if you think you're suffering because of some personal sin, and that's how I make you feel in this message. And that is the absolute last thing that my aim is this morning. My aim is to show us that the world is broken, and that we're broken, and that everything is broken, and it's raw. And therefore, though, the solution is also raw. But my concern is if we miss the rawness, we've just got meaningless religious mantra. And everybody goes home after a nice time, but does life exactly the same as they did before, in their own strength, fighting away, feeling dark. And then you turn on the news, and that's pretty raw and gritty as well. What do we do with all this? And I just get annoyed when I turn on the radio at this time of year and religious figures are giving an Easter message which is just wishy-washy. And it's when I rub shoulders with people who are suffering and they've only said half the story at best, it's just not raw enough to be real to someone who feels condemned this morning or in a pit. So let me tell you a story to help shape this message and to tap into the rawness of this Easter Holy Weekend. I made the story up. It's about Billy and Bobby. Billy and Bobby eat sawdust. They think it's all that they need. They don't realize that it's killing them and that they're made for more, like fruit and veg, which would make them flourish. And one day, Bobby meets someone who tells him his need for fruit and veg. And he does a good job of convincing Bobby, and he hands him the fruit and veg as a gift. And Bobby accepts the gift because he's seen his need. Then he eats fruit and veg, and he starts to grow and flourish in ways that he wasn't when he was eating sawdust. Okay? Bobby then goes up to Billy, offers him the fruit and veg, but doesn't do a good job of convincing Billy of his need for fruit and veg. So Billy says no to the gift, rejects it, carries on eating sawdust. Here's a question. Why does someone not accept a gift? Bearing in mind our text is, thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why does someone not accept a gift on Easter weekend? The answer, or any gift, the answer is they probably haven't seen their need for the fruit and veg. Here we have the text, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The context is Jesus has suffered for sins. Jesus has been under the wrath of God, and he's come through it, and now he shares his risen life the other side of that, so no one needs to be under sin and death and judgment anymore. That's a gift. Victory! But most of the country today won't accept the gift. They won't even be in a church to hear it. Why? They're not convinced of their need. They haven't heard the full story of why they need it. And I don't like it with the talking heads on the Thought for the Days when they don't spell it out. And my message is to show us the need. Because the mantra like, Easter is a time of cherishing our spiritual journey. Some of us just think, what does that even mean in the real world? A journey where? What if we're all saying different things about what a spiritual journey is and where it's heading? Like, let's be real. Or someone might say, Easter is a time of hope and peace. What does that mean? Because it's pretty chaotic, if you haven't noticed, in 2024. And some of us would even admit it can be chaotic in our hearts and our lives. Or, here's another one, it's time for a fresh start. Turn over a new leaf, it's Easter weekend. Well, I keep meeting people who haven't got the energy to turn over another new leaf. They're just at the end of their efforts. And in the United Kingdom right now, therefore, church is pretty irrelevant. It is because we're not connecting with the rawness of what it is to be alive in 2024. There's fruit and veg on offer, but no one's being told their need for fruit and veg. So you've heard of Billy and Bobby. Here's a question. Another way to shape this message, with Good Friday in view and Easter Sunday, here's a question. If humanity is down a hole and has sin and is broken and isn't good enough for heaven if heaven is perfect, what is a human's biggest problem on Easter weekend? And this is where you think, sheesh, this is heavy. The answer is God is a broken world's biggest problem. You don't hear that on Thought for the Day. God is the divine enemy of all things horrific, unjust, sinful. And receiving the gift of our text today starts here. To realize, if you're honest, when it comes to pleasing God or being godly or heavenly consistently, we're actually down a hole as humanity. This morning, the news proves that. When it comes to like spiritual things, a lot of us are in darkness. That's a fact. Here's another fact. In the United Kingdom now, hardly anybody reads the Bible anymore, if you hadn't noticed. And what happens when you don't read the Bible anymore, but you still might think there is a God? You start to shape him in what you think he should be like. And what he always ends up like, when you don't read the Bible, he looks and sounds just like you. And he votes like you. And he thinks like you. And he talks like you. And he doesn't like the people that you don't like. And he does like the people that you like. So loads of people today don't actually think God is a problem, because he's just like them. Votes for Plaid Cymru and all sorts, doesn't he? See, most of us alive this morning now, with the reduction of church and Christianity, we would never imagine an Easter message might begin with this, God is a problem. It's just not in our vocabulary anymore. Like, we might think he's got a problem with people we don't like, but with me, never. Nope, that's not the Easter message. But then there's this Good Friday thing where Jesus dies on the cross for sins. It's like, oh, well, where do I fit into that then? If God isn't a problem for me, but yet there's a butchered man on a cross for sin, it's hard to square those two together. We told this story before with the teenagers. Here it is again. A man falls down a hole and can't get out. A mystic, and it's from a course we ran with the teenagers a few months ago. A mystic looks down at the man in the hole and says, there is no hole. The hole is an illusion. Then he leaves. A religious leader looks down the hole and says, "You should have listened to me." Then he leaves. A social media influencer says, "Thoughts and prayers," tweets about it, and leaves. Politicians say, "The hole is the other party's fault," and they leave. A pragmatist says, "Just climb up." A cynic says, "You're probably off down there. Probably better off down there. Stay down there." An idealist says, "Look on the bright side." But they all leave. So you're left with good advice if you're down a hole, but no way out. Then a friend comes. And what does a friend do? He draws near. He dives in the hole with you. He gets hurt. He gets dirty. He hoists the man on his shoulders and he lifts him out. And Good Friday, according to the Bible, is Jesus is that friend. God goes down a hole on Good Friday for people down a hole, because we are down a hole. But most people that you know rejected that message on Good Friday, didn't they? And they're still not connected to Jesus, and they still don't think they need him. Why? Because you don't eat fruit and veg unless you see the need. That some people, even this morning on this resurrection day, are down a hole. And they don't know about this in a real way, that there's victory in Christ Jesus. They've never been told they're down a hole. Other people I meet, they say this: "Well, if there is a God, I'm not going to worship him on Easter weekend, and that's why I'm not going to church." Do you know why? You want to know why? Because if I ever meet him, I'll give him what for. In fact, God isn't a problem. I'm God's problem. And one day, I will bang on his door and show him my list of complaints. How dare you allow that thing in my life? How dare you tell me that I did something wrong? How dare you? What I would like to hear on the radio from a priest over the Easter weekend from time to time is that they say this: "Hold on a minute. What if the Bible actually says that God is banging on our door with a checklist and we're not doing all that well, and he cares about that?" So, in a very real way, the Bible teaches that our problem is God, and that he really cares about injustice and sin way more than we do. Way more. That's Good Friday. I got struck again by the evil that we're capable of last week. 16-year-old boy killed himself because someone got hold of nude pictures of him, blackmailed him. And he killed himself. And I was just thinking, you think of the evil involved in that type of exploitation of a teenager like that. Who cares the most about that? God. And he's banging on the door. God is angry because he is truly good. So he cares about that more than we do. Let me tell you a story about my dog. The oldest dog, the little border terrier. The older she's getting, the more moody she's getting. Is that what's happening with anyone here? When I take the little dog on a walk, she growls at big dogs. If they try to take her ball or they sniff too close, she's ready and she's armed to fight. And what I've noticed is, she doesn't realize that she could be absolutely trounced by some of the dogs that she's barking at. She'll bark at the big dogs, any dog, because I think she thinks she's a lion. What she doesn't realize is she's a little squirt. And a nice squirt, I like her. But like, she's this tiny ball of fluff. She's got gum disease, missing teeth. She's half blind and half deaf. And it's like, you just need to realize a minute that that Alsatian could be a real problem for you. Like, you're a bit of a problem, but the actual problem you've got is that you've just banged on the door of an Alsatian. What if that Alsatian bangs on your door? You gum-diseased little border terrier. You are a problem, but that's not your biggest problem. And she's got no idea just how many times her life has been spared by a big dog just letting it go for the time being, just being chill. And I reread this verse last week. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You ready? It says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, about Jesus. The Jesus that's ignored by most of the UK at the moment. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. That's a very big Jesus. And the Easter story starts here. If we declare war on God with our lists, so what? The big problem is that if all the forces of the world got together, plus all the demons, plus Satan, plus the Antichrist, marched up to Jesus, he would destroy them with his breath. That's the problem that we've got. The real problem is if the glorious, majestic, Trinitarian God is wrathful about a broken world and sin and the news and bullying. That's a bigger problem than any of us imagine. And that puts us in a hole. I read an article about Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah last week. It listed all the times God said he's angry. It's like, it doesn't come into our minds much anymore because we don't read the Bible. Here's Jeremiah 4, verse 4. This is God speaking. My wrath will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil people have done. It's Jeremiah 4, verse 8. The fierce anger of the Lord is not turned away from us. Here's Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 20. The sovereign Lord says, my anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place. And it went on and on and on and on and on. So back to Billy and Bobby, who are not eating vegetables because they don't see their need, that they're down a hole. And now I come to the crux of this whole message. With Good Friday, what we saw is the Son of God down a hole, dying for people so that they will never die, being punished for people so that they will never be punished, joining people who feel condemned and lost and hopeful so that they never will. And then we should really ask, why on earth, if we keep messing everything up, does God care so much to help us? That's how we should think. And that leads to worship. Why does God bother so much with a fallen, broken humanity? Look at the mess we make. We wouldn't bother. You ever done that thing when someone crosses a line, that one too many times, and you wash your hands with them? You don't even tell them. You're just done with them, and you withdraw. You doing that with anyone this morning? See, this weekend shows that God isn't like that. This resurrection day shows that God has not washed his hands of you and me and all fallen people, all this broken, fallen world. And this Easter story is summed up like this. The living God cares about sin and injustice far more than we do, and yet he still loves us to hell and back. And he is a big problem, but he sorts that problem within himself, and we don't lift a finger, and he offers us a gift of a way through it in this broken, difficult world. The Father sends the Son to jump down a hole, and all of my list, forget it. His list against me gets put on Jesus. All of my wrongs onto the Son. And he buries it and he takes it to the hell it deserves, and he fixes that problem of himself being my judge. Why? And if you don't remember anything else, remember this. He did it because he loves you. Jesus is risen. And no one loves that more than God the Father, because he's risen for you and he loves you. In fact, he would rather his son die on a cross than he wash his hands of you. That's the Christian story. Our problem is God, and this weekend shows that God solves that problem, and we weren't involved. All of our brokenness was put on the wonderful Lord Jesus, and he takes it down, and he rises and calls us up in hope. There is a bright future for anyone feeling condemned this morning, and God's wrath is replaced with reconciliation. Just trust Jesus, he'll lead you there. His fury is replaced with friendship and family. And some of us will sing this afternoon, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's wind this up. My friend summed up humanity like this, and it's certainly my story. I'm not very good at the game of life. I have profound regrets. I am sometimes burdened by gnawing guilt and shame. I despair at my sinful human nature, which is capable of horrendous selfishness and pride and greed and malice. I am weak and I am dying. And one day I will face my Maker. It's all too much. I cannot handle these things by myself. I don't need a coach that shouts advice. I need a champion who picks me up, forgives me, and makes me whole again. Today, we worship a problem-solving, loving, sacrificial God who's gone to hell and back because of his love for us. And oh, that on Radio 4 today, someone will say, "Do you know what the Easter message is? Excuse me while I offend you a minute. But you know where you're at your rawest and worst and most ugly and sinful? Do you know you can be healed and forgiven right now in Jesus? He's risen. And do you know the judge can become your father?" That's the Christmas message. So, for the bad parent who should have prayed more and loved more and fasted more, Jesus is risen. You're valued and loved. Repent and believe. To the drug addict, relapsed for the 50th time, wondering, "Is there still a chance at life for me?" Jesus is risen. You're valued and you're loved. Repent and believe. And to those facing darkness and death and confusion, Jesus is risen. Trust him and hold on. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's see.